Thank you, guys.
Thank you. I see a lot of new faces here tonight, and that makes me happy. So, like Pastor said, many of you guys know my story. But for those who don't, just real quick, just a minute, I want to tell you that I wasn't always a Christian. I lived a crazy lifestyle for a long time. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol. I was always in trouble, in and out of jail. And one day, actually it was October 25th, 2009, I was arrested and charged with felony assault and DWI and a bunch of other charges. And I landed in jail. And while I was there, I cried out to the Lord for help. I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And ever since that day, my life has completely changed. And I have been on fire for Jesus since then. And so I'm honored to be here tonight. This truly is an answered prayer right here. I asked God while I was in that jail cell if he would use me, if he would give me an opportunity to tell people about all the wonderful things that he's done for me. So for just standing here, it might not mean much to you, but it means the world to me. It's just God working in my life to show me that he's there and he's listening. Amen. So I was thinking, Pastor told me that I was going to get to speak tonight, and, you know, I got really excited, and then I got really nervous. I said, oh, man, what am I going to talk about? And I started praying, and I started talking to my friends here at the church, and one of my friends told me, said, just be you. Just be yourself. And I said, oh, that's awesome. I think that's what I'll do. And so I just want to do a Bible study tonight because that's what really changed my life was the Word of God. Nothing else. I was all alone in the Bible with the Word, and I read it, and I prayed, and my life slowly began to change. And it's important that we read, and we're going to read together tonight, and we're going to do a little Bible study. And the Bible study is called Tackling Tough Situations. And before we get into it, I remember when I first gave my heart to the Lord, people would say things to me all the time, and just they'd walk by and say, oh, trust the Lord, Chris. Trust him with your life. Everything's going to be okay. Every time I was going through something, someone always had some little catchphrase and some Christian thing they would say and just keep walking and leave me hanging. And one of the things that always got me is people would say, oh, Chris, there's no testimony without a test. Or there's no message without a mess. And then I'm like, okay, that's great. But I want to know, how do you get from being tested to having a testimony? How do you go from having a mess on your hands to preaching the message? And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, because that basically means when they say that to you, that you're going to have troubles. You're going to go through stuff in life. It's not going to be easy. But how do we deal with those tough situations? Tonight, we're going to read some scriptures, and we're going to take a look at the Apostle Paul, and we're going to look at Titus and see how they tackled some tough situations in their lives. But before we get into the word, I just want to put out a question for you. I'm not looking for a response. I just want you to think about it while we go through the Bible study tonight. How do you usually respond when you're faced with difficult situations? How do you usually react? What do you do? And I got three little things here I want to share. Are you like an ostrich? Do you hide when troubles come? Do you bury your head in the sand just hoping everything will go away? Or are you like a bird? Do you take flight? Do you run when you're faced with difficult situations? Or are you like my buddy Brad T, who's over there like a tiger? Do you turn and attack as soon as you get an opportunity to? Just think about that. Think about that as we go into tonight's scriptures. I'm going to give you a little background before we move on. And we're going to be reading out of 2 Corinthians tonight. It's important that we know what's going on behind the scenes. Who wrote it, why they wrote it, and things like that. So I just got some notes I'm going to share. And 2 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul. It was probably written less than a year after 1 Corinthians from Macedonia. You see, Paul left Corinth and traveled to Ephesus, where he stayed for 2 years. And during his stay there, a delegation from Corinth visited him, and they asked Paul many advice on many matters. And it was an answer to these questions that he wrote 1 Corinthians. He became very anxious to find out how the Corinthians reacted to his letter. So he left Ephesus, hoping to meet up with Titus. However, he failed to do so. He crossed over into Macedonia, and he got stuck there. And this is where Titus met him. He came to him with news, both good and bad. And these then are the circumstances that called forth the second epistle to the Corinthians. And later Paul addressed several problems. First, the young church in Corinth was divided about lifestyle issues. And second, false teachers didn't like some of the things Paul was talking about. And they started spreading rumors about and they started lying on him. And the third problem they saw was an opportunity to resolve an ongoing division between Jewish and Gentile Christians. The Corinthians never sent the money to the needy saints in Jerusalem as they intended to do. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. As we move into the text, we will see that the action they took resulted in a change of heart and reconciled relationships. How they dealt with difficult situations gives us an example of how we can make a difference when we face problems. And the first point I want to talk about tonight is when we get into the word, you're going to see that Paul, he had a lot of problems in his life. What we're going to talk about tonight is nothing compared to everything that he went through. You see, he started a church in Corinth, and then he left to go start another church, and the church started falling apart. And he loved them. How was he going to deal with it? What was going on there was huge. These were problems that needed to be fixed, but how was he going to do it? And the first thing that we see Paul did is that he faced them head on. Paul faced those problems head on. When he realized that he had to do something, he acted. And we're going to see what he did here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. And I'm reading out of the New International Version. It says, "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friend, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Make room for us in your hearts. And we have wronged no one, we have corrupted no one, and we have exploited no one. I do not say this to condemn you. I have said before that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. I have spoken to you with great frankness. I take great pride in you, and I am greatly encouraged. In all of our troubles, my joy, it knows no bounds. For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest. But we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside and fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comfort us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I did not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended you, and so were not harmed by us in any way." You see, Paul, he loved the church. He loved the men and the women there. But he needed to do something because they weren't living right. He had to tell them what they needed to hear and not what they wanted to hear. And sometimes we need that in our lives. We need people to come alongside of us and tell us what we need to hear. And Paul, this is a very difficult situation for him because at first they didn't receive his letter well. They were a little upset at him. How could he say those things to us? How could he say that? But after a while, they realized he was right and things started to change. But it was tough for Paul to do that. And we can actually compare his letter to work of a surgeon. In order for him to remove those dangerously infected parts of the human body, it's necessary for him to cut deep into the flesh. He does not rejoice in causing pain because he knows it must be done in order for them to regain their health. And that's how we can compare Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. It's almost like a surgeon. He did it so wonderfully. But what we can learn is that he faced the problems head on. He didn't wait. He faced them head on. No matter how big or small our problems may seem, we have to face them head on. Avoiding problems doesn't make them go away or get any better. As a matter of fact, by avoiding the problems we need to face, we're actually avoiding the life we need to live. I know all about that because, you see, God created me for a plan and for a purpose. I believe it was to serve him and to bring honor and glory to his name. But for years, I did my own thing. I was a drug addict, an alcoholic, in and out of trouble, like I just told you. People came into my life and they told me, they said, "Chris, you need help. You need to make a change. You need to do something." But I refused to listen to them. I refused to face those problems. I kept living the way I wanted to live. And ultimately, it ended me up in jail on my way to prison. But when I decided to face those problems head on, that day in that jail cell when I got on my knees and I asked the Lord to come into my life, that's the day I faced those problems head on. I faced that addiction. I faced that lifestyle that I was living. And things immediately began to change. So we can learn just from these few verses right here not to avoid the problems in our life. We need to face them head on. And we need to get help from others. Because another thing we learn from Paul is that he couldn't do it alone. He needed Titus. And God will bring people into our lives to help us. We have to be willing to accept that help. We also learn that God wants us to face our problems head on. Even if it's painful at first, his only desire is to make us better, to move us forward and be the best that we can do. And as I'm talking, I remember the night I packed a car into my wife. Sometimes God just gets you, and as I'm reading, it just got to me. It hurt. I remember waking up in that jail cell, realizing what I did, what I'd become. It didn't feel good. But you know what? God knew exactly what he was doing. He knew what he was doing that night. It hurt me very bad to see the person that I'd become. But I had to get to that point to get where I am today. And maybe you're here. Maybe you're avoiding some problems. face them head on. Don't hide from them no more. So many people, so many times people told me, said, Chris, you need help, and I didn't listen to them. Man. But I want to share a verse with you, and it's out of Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 through 5, and I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. It says, there's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that passionate turns forged tempered into steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next, an alert expectancy such as this. We're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours out into our lives by the Holy Spirit. Here's the point. God does not want you to avoid the difficult situations in your life. He doesn't want you to avoid the problems. He wants you to face them head on. And he's with you. He's working in your life. He's right there next to you, even if you don't recognize it or even if you don't feel it. It's easier when we just cooperate with God. You know, like I said, you know, many times people came into my life and told me I needed help. I didn't listen. So finally, God got my attention. It would have been a lot easier if I would have just listened to him in the first place. And the second point I want to talk about is when we deal with difficult situations and when we face problems, we have to take the initiative. We have to be the ones to do something. And first, I want to talk about what does the word initiative even mean? The word initiative means the ability to assess and initiate things independently. The power or opportunity to act or take charge before others do. Basically, it means don't wait for someone else to do it. You do it. Don't wait for someone else to come along and take care of your problems or clean up your mess. You do it. God wants you to take the initiative. He wants you to take the first step. So I'm going to give you a little more background on the next verse we're going to read. You see, the Gentile churches, one of which was the church in Corinth, had been collecting money to assist the impoverished Jewish church in Jerusalem. However, the Corinthian church stopped collecting while the others had already finished their collection. And now that reconciliation has occurred between Paul and the church in Corinth, he again lists and sends Titus to encourage the church in Corinth to finish their collection. This act of grace they had begun, Paul took the initiative to make a difference. By addressing the ongoing problem of division between the Jewish and Gentile Christians, Paul's desire to bring healing between them, the Corinthian Christians needed to experience the grace of giving, much as the Jerusalem's Christians needed the help. So the church in Corinth stopped taking a collection for the needy Christians. Every other church in the area had finished their collection and sent the money to them, but they didn't. And Paul realized this, and he didn't wait for them to just decide to finish it themselves. He didn't wait for someone else to come along and say, hey, you know, he got up and he took the initiative and he said, we're going to finish what we start here. We're going to finish this collection and we're going to send it to these needy Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6 says, so we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. And then if I move down to 16 and 17, it says, thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. Paul and Titus did not wait to see if this act of grace would finish itself. They did not leave it up to someone else. They saw a problem and they saw it to itself. They took the initiative. They didn't wait. But how come sometimes we hesitate? How come it's so difficult for us to take the initiative? Why do we hesitate? Even when it comes to other people, and when we see other people struggling, we know we could do something to help. We know that we have something to offer and we hesitate. Why do we do that? Is it fear, anxiety, worry? What's stopping you from facing the problems or the difficulties in your life? You see, Titus, in verses 16 and 17, he had a very positive attitude. It says that he went on his own initiative and he had great enthusiasm. He kept a positive attitude. He was willing to go. They didn't need to send him. And we can learn that having that positive attitude when dealing with these situations, it makes things easier for ourselves and for the people around us. I went through rehab 4 times. The first 3 times I was very bitter. I thought I had it all figured out. I knew exactly what I was doing. I didn't make it. I relapsed and ended up back there. The 4th time, I had the Spirit of God living inside of me, and I was filled with joy. And I loved everyone that was around me. I was very positive. I was filled with passion and desire, and I haven't been back since. So having a positive attitude when dealing with difficult situations is very important. The problem is some of us have lost the initiative. And we've let the enemy take control of our life. It's time for us to take a stand. It's time for us to face our problems head on. It's time for us to take the initiative and stop waiting for someone else to take care of it. It's time to fight back. You take the initiative and stop hesitating. Be determined to act in faith and not to hesitate, to step out and make it impossible to go back. And what I mean by that, brothers and sisters, whatever you're going through in life and whatever might be going on, whatever problems you're having, we got to burn the bridges behind us. You know, that's the thing that helped me. I give a lot of my success to the fact that I burned every single bridge behind me. I can never go back to the life that I used to live because there is no more life. It's gone. And some of you need to do that. You need to stand up and say, that's it. I'm not doing this no more. It's over. It's done. And burn the bridges behind you. Make it impossible to go back. And when you do, and when you burn those bridges behind you, start speaking the word of God over your life. Start declaring promises. God promised that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He promised that he'll be your strength and your weakness. And so when things get tough and you don't feel like you got the strength to go on, call upon that promise. Say, God, you said you would be my strength and my weakness, that you would be my refuge and my rock. God wants you to call upon his promises. He doesn't want you to do it alone, but he does want you to move. He doesn't want you to sit there and just accept the way things are. So my last point of this Bible study is simple. Once you face those problems head on, once you get up and you go right after them, finish what you start. Don't stop. You see, when Paul needed to deal with problems in the church in Corinth, Titus got the call. And when dealing with the offering for the poor, once again, Paul turned to his trusted friend, Titus. And later, Paul needed someone to pastor the churches on the island of Crete. Again, he knew exactly who he would count on to be their shepherd. In Paul's letter to Titus, he provides us clues to the nature of the unfinished business in which Titus must give his intentions. So now I'm going to read out of the book of Titus, and I'm going to read chapter 1, verse 5, and then I'm going to read 10 and 11, and then I'm going to go and read chapter 2 and 15. So Titus chapter 1, verse 5 says, "The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." Titus 1, 10 through 11 says, "For there are many rebellious people full of meaningless talk and deception, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are disrupting a whole household by teaching things they ought not to teach and for the sake of dishonest gain." And Titus chapter 2 verse 15 says, "These then are the things you should teach. Encourage, rebuke with all authority, and do not let anybody despise you." See, Paul and Titus faced one problem after another. It seems like they just kept on coming. But they faced them head on. Every single time a problem came into their life, they faced it head on. And they didn't give up. They kept pushing forward. Because Paul and Titus faced their problems head on and didn't wait for them to go away or for someone else to do it, relationships were restored. They were put back on track. The church was better than it ever was before. And we can learn from that, brothers and sisters. That's why this story is in the Bible, so we can learn from it. When we face our problems, when we stop avoiding the things that we need to address, things start to get better. God promises it through his word. The work of the church is never finished. We never wake up to discover all tasks finished, all ministries fulfilled, all instructions finished, all training complete. And sometimes that reality can be a little overwhelming. But God wants you to put your trust in him. He wants you to trust him with your life, with everything that you have. Problems come and they go. Whether it's high or whether it's low, no matter what you're going in through life, God wants you to trust him with everything. And so my question is, what problems or difficult situations are you avoiding in your life? Do you need God's help, wisdom, and power to tackle some difficult situations? Or do you know someone who is facing a challenge right now? Is there anything you can do about it? Is there anything you can do to help them? Do you need God to strengthen you so you can comfort someone else in their time of need? Whatever challenge you may be facing right now, don't wait for someone else to come along. Face it head on, and don't give up until you find victory. Ask God to help you. His only desire is to become everything that you called, that he's created you to be. Guys, I thank you for letting me share this Bible study with you. It means a lot. Thank you. I'm going to ask Pastor Marty if he'll come up. and close in prayer for us. I want to encourage you, if you're here tonight and maybe you're going through some things and maybe you've got some problems you need to face, I want to pray with you. Come see me after the service, and I want to stand and agree with you and pray. Okay, he says, take 3 more minutes to preach to them. So I'm going to do the best I can right now because I just blew right through all my stuff. Okay, come on. Earlier, I talked about calling on God's promises. We did a Bible study today, and we read James chapter 1. And in that chapter, God talks about going to him in faith. He says, when anybody comes to me, they must believe. Because if they don't, they cannot expect to receive anything. When you go before God, brothers and sisters, you cannot have any doubt in your mind that God is going to answer your prayer, that you're going to get that healing, that you're going to get that job, that that relationship is going to get restored. And you have to call upon his promises, because what I said earlier is true. All those promises are for you. It doesn't matter what you're going through in this life. No matter how big or how small, God has got your back. He is your refuge. Run to him in your time of need. Stop trying to do it by yourself. I learned that the hard way. I tried to live my life the way I wanted to live it, and I almost killed my wife. But it was God that rescued me. It was God that showed up in that jail cell. It wasn't nobody else. He was my refuge. He was my rock. And today he is my strength. He is my reason for breathing. Okay, I'm still preaching here. Anyways, he is my refuge and he is my rock. He's everything to me. And make him everything to you. I want to leave you with that. Before, when you leave tonight, just make a commitment to put God first in everything you do. When you wake up in the morning, pray. When you lay down at night, pray. And when you get an opportunity, read, talk about Jesus, meditate on the word. Don't ever let him go. Cherish him because he loves you, he cares about you, and he created you for a plan and for a purpose. Come on. I'm running out of steam here.
Amen. Awesome. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Very proud of you. Amen. Thank you, God, for your grace. This is what you do, Lord. You restore, you make alive, you take what the enemy has tried to destroy, you breathe upon it, and you let it live. We glorify you, Lord, tonight for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. Everybody stand.